Our Father who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power,
and the glory,
forever and ever.
Amen.
Lord of all, we thank you for this time together, this time of quiet rest before your throne, for this time with other believers, for this time to raise our voices in praise of you. And Lord, for the next few minutes while we're here, we place all of our worries and our cares and our fears right in the palm of your hand. And we're just going to let you hold on to them. And we're going to sit and rest and trust you. Trust that you know our fears and you know our cares and you know our worries. And that you are good and that you are for us. Hear now the names and needs of all those people we love and who need your healing touch. We pray especially for Jeff Havens and his family, for Brenda Williams and her family, for all those who grieve, for those facing surgery, for those with scary diagnoses, for those without work, for those for whom work is tiresome. Lord, we ask you to carry our loads, and we thank you for being our God. We thank you for loving us. We thank you. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes from you. Amen. Church, what do you think of when you hear the word church? I posted that question on Facebook last week and I got all sorts of responses. The first one, just a minute after I posted, was, "Church is a great place to balance a checkbook." That really wasn't quite what I was looking for. Another person said, "Church is a place where you must wear nice clothes and behave." Obviously, she has never been to this church. We're not that hung up about clothes here, and even when we try, sometimes we just don't behave. One particularly vile person said this: "Church is that place where the preachers only have to work half day a week." I deleted that comment moments after it appeared. There were beautiful responses, too. "Church is a place for little ones to grow up around positive role models." To another, "Church was a place of security and peace, a sanctuary, a safe haven in a scary, cold world." Another said, I want to read it as a quote, "Church is a place filled with beautiful songs and music, words of love and wisdom, accepting, caring people who love God and others, and delightful children," which tells me she does not work in the nurseries. Several people said that church is the place they come to recharge for the week ahead. One even said it like this: "Church is the inhale to my week-long exhale." I love that. This week has been one long exhale for many of us. And I love the idea that here at church, we get to inhale for the week ahead. My two favorite answers were short and sweet. Church is love and church is home. A church is filled with love, or in my opinion, it's not really a church anyway. And if a church is loving, then it feels like home. And you will know you belong there, even though, just like in our own families, we have some weird Uncle Alberts here. Church isn't a place for perfect people. Church is a place for all people of all kinds. My son said, church should be a place where people act like they want you to be here. And if we got that part right, helping people feel wanted and welcomed, then there would be a lot fewer negative ideas about the church. To many, churches are just full of judgmental, hypocritical people. That's one of the biggest excuses people give for not coming to church. It's full of hypocrites. That's true. I love what Miss Rosa Tomlin says about that. She says, well, you go to the grocery store with hypocrites. You go to the ballpark and the doctor's office with hypocrites. Come on, come to church with us. There's always room there for one more. Guess how many people said that they were at least somewhat likely to attend church if they were invited? 10%? Guess, 20%? The last survey I read that said that 82% of people who don't go to church would be at least somewhat likely to attend. Do we need to just wait and watch? I don't mind. I just wait. It's okay. 82% of people said they would come to church if they were invited. 8 out of 10. They didn't say they'd come to church if they got a postcard from us. They didn't say they'd come to church if they saw a billboard or if they drove by a new banner. They said they'd come to church, possibly, if we bothered to invite them. How many of you came to church, any church, for the first time because you were invited? That would be me. I didn't grow up in church, and I had to be invited many times. Well, what did Jesus have to say about the church? What does his life teach us about the church? The scriptures say that Jesus was born into a family of faithful, observant Jews. They attended church, synagogue, temple. We see this first in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. All of our scriptures are from Luke 2 today. It says, when the eighth day arrived, the day of circumcision, the child was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. This circumcision wasn't done for health reasons or social norms like it might be done today. For them, this was a religious ceremony. And Mary and Joseph were faithful to have it done, even though they were about 80 miles from home when Jesus was born. They took Jesus to a rabbi, or they found a rabbi who would come to them, even though they were out of town. For us, I think this would be a little bit like making certain that we found a church and had our baby baptized on the eighth day after he was born, even though we happened to be stuck in Birmingham when that happened. It took some work for Mary and Joseph to do this. It took some initiative on their part. Most of us don't even go to church when we're out of town on vacation, right? But Mary and Joseph were faithful to tend to this religious duty, even when they were away from home. The story continues, verse 22. Then when the days stipulated by Moses for Mary's purification were complete, they took Jesus up to Jerusalem to offer him to God as commanded in God's law. Now you can read on your own the fascinating laws of purification for a woman after childbirth. You can read those pertaining to firstborn males like Jesus was. But the point of this story is that Jesus is being presented at the temple at least 41 days after his birth. That's the absolute soonest they could be there. So Mary and Joseph probably stayed in Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, this kind of suburb of Jerusalem, for at least 6 weeks after his birth, just so they could tend to this religious duty. They probably didn't return home to Nazareth until after this. And when the time came for this next religious milestone, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple. They were faithful. Jesus grew up in a home of churchgoers. That story concludes this way. When they had finished everything required by God in the law, they returned to Galilee and their own town, Nazareth. There the child grew strong in body and wise in spirit, and the grace of God was on him. Now, we don't have any record of Jesus' family life growing up in Nazareth. We don't have any scriptures telling us that Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the synagogue or to the Sabbath school that the rabbi taught. But if Mary and Joseph were so meticulously faithful to observe all these other religious festivals, don't you think they would have been faithful at home when it was easy to do so? I mean, do you really think that Mary and Joseph would have been careless about Jesus' religious training? Knowing they are raising God's son, do you really think they're going to sleep in on Sabbath morning? They are not. They are not. So Jesus grew up in the church in a community of believers. Jesus had a home church, and that was somewhere in Nazareth. I would love to know what that church was like, what Jesus did there. It had to be a small church. Nazareth was just a little village. Do you think Jesus fidgeted during the sermon? You think he grabbed his daddy's arm to look at the watch? When are they going to finish? You think Jesus ever sang a solo in church? You think he was elected president of his youth group? Do you think there was a Miss Winniedale somewhere in Nazareth who Jesus sat with sometimes? We don't know. We'd love to know, but we just don't know. The next time we see Jesus in the scriptures, he's 12 years old, he's in Jerusalem again, and the text says, every year Jesus' parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. Every year. Some of us go to the beach every year. They went to the temple every year. They were faithful in their religious observance. The story goes on to say that when the feast was over, the family left for that long trip back from Jerusalem again on their way toward Nazareth. They didn't have minivans then. They didn't have a big Suburban. And so they traveled in these large caravans, family, friends, neighbors. They had traveled all day. And at the end of this first day of travel, Mary and Joseph finally realized that Jesus wasn't with their group. He wasn't back with Grandpa like they thought he was. He wasn't up ahead playing with the neighbor kids. Jesus wasn't with the group. Mary and Joseph have lost God's son. Oh my. And they don't find him until the next day, all the way back in Jerusalem, at the temple. I'm sure Jesus' mother was delighted to see him. The scriptures say, she said, "Young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you." And Jesus said, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" This is the word of God. For the people of God, thanks be to God. Jesus was in his Father's house. Our Father's house we call home. Church was like home to Jesus. Just like my Facebook friend said, church is home. There are other passages in the Bible that tell us a little bit about what Jesus thought of the church. There's that passionate cleansing of the temple where Jesus overturns the tables of the money changers. And whether that happened once or twice, however you read that, what it tells us is that Jesus was passionate about his church. Passionate it remained pure. Passionate that this be a house of prayer. Passionate that all people have access to it and to God. We hear Jesus say that he will build his church and nothing will prevail against it. And we read that Jesus is the head of the church. Not me or Michael or some church board or bishop or pope. Jesus is the head of the church. And we read that the church is the body of Christ. You and me. All believers everywhere. The visible hands of feet and feet. The audible voice of God in this world. Apart from that initial act of creation, when God wants something done, God uses people to do it. In all of Scripture, in all of history, apart from creation, God doesn't do much without our help. Check it out. Check it out for yourselves and see how many times and how many ways God uses people to do God's work in the world. When God wants something done, God does it through us, the church, the body of Christ, of which you and I are but one small part. The church is not a building, we know that. There were dozens of church buildings destroyed by the tornadoes of April 27th. The churches that met in those buildings are still going strong, serving the world, healing its hurts, speaking hope to those who lost everything. Because the church isn't a building, it's a people. And we saw that here in this church just this week in Hazel Green. Working in so many ways. There were groups of you who went and split and stacked wood as part of the ongoing tornado cleanup. There were others of you who served at the manna house. The sick and shut-in were visited. The hungry were fed. Children were loved and taught here in the daycare. Two families were nurtured during funerals. Meals were served. Notes and flowers were sent. Prayers were said. Hands were held. Necks were hugged. The body of Christ, visible to be felt and heard by all. For all of its failures, for all of our flaws, the church remains God's instrument in the world, the presence of God, sharing the truths of God, embodying the love of God in simple, plain people like you and me. Jesus had a home church, and I know that I need one too. Thank you, Jesus, for the church. Amen. Let us pray. Lord of all, forgive us our hypocrisy, forgive our failures, our meanness, and our small-mindedness. For everything we in your church have messed up, Lord, have mercy. All that we have, all that we are, and all that we hope to be, Lord, is yours. Use us, we pray, to bring comfort to your world and glory to your holy name. Amen. Would you please stand now? And you are being sent out now as the Church of Jesus Christ to go and serve the world that he loves and the world that he died for. Be his hands, be his feet, be his voice in this world. Go and be the church, we pray. In the name of the God we love, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.